Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner. Great to have you here this afternoon. Well, one of our goals here on Connecting Faith is to give you information on how you can connect your day-to-day life with your Sunday morning life. And one of those areas that is essential to that is our family life. And having a happy family, it might look like a pipe dream right now, or it might look like something that you'd really value but you think is impossible. If so, you are going to love listening to what our guest has to say today from his new book, Have a Happy Family by Friday. Let me introduce you to our guest, and we will get some of that information to you. Dr. Kevin Lehman is an internationally known psychologist and humorist who's taught and entertained audiences worldwide with his common sense psychology. The New York Times bestselling and award-winning author of Have a New Kid by Friday, Have a New Husband by Friday, Parenting Your Powerful Child, Sheet Music, and the Birth Order Book. He has made thousands of house calls through radio and television programs and interviews. He also served as a contributing family psychologist to Good Morning America. Dr. Lehman and his wife Sandy live in Arizona now and have five children and two grandchildren. You can find out more about him at www.birthorderguy.com. So, Dr. Lehman, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good to be back with you. Thanks.
It's great to have you here. Last time we chatted about Parenting Your Powerful Child, and I was just chatting with Kevin that I took that book and subsequently sent it to someone who has one. And she reported very good things and results from that as well. So thank you for that gift.
Yeah, the irony is that we as parents create those powerful children.
Yes, and we have to take some responsibility, right?
Yeah, we do. If you have a powerful child in your home, I mean, take a look around. There's a powerful parent somewhere. The kid didn't learn power from just out of thin air. In fact, just as a reminder, and we have another book to talk about, but it starts so innocently with a 18-month-old who has decided that he or she does not really want to go in that high chair to eat, and that 18-month-old can contort their body in such a way that it becomes physiologically improbable to put that kid in there. And there's a husband battling this kid to get him in there, okay? And wifey sees what's going on, and she says, honey, Roger, just give him to me. Just give him to me. I'll take him, honey. And so he quickly hands off little Fletcher to mom, and little Fletcher sits on mommy's lap, is fed on mommy's lap, enjoys mommy's lap. Now the question is, you be little Fletcher for a second. Would you rather sit in the cheap Kmart chair they bought, or would you rather sit on mommy's lap?
Well, it's always more comfortable there on mom's lap.
So we actually teach kids how to be powerful, and we reward that. See, and so it's that was a fun book to do, and a lot of parents and families were helped by it. And yet, the Have a Happy Family by Friday, believe it or not, it's book 49. For me, but the publisher says it's going to be a huge book, so we'll see what happens. It's in every airport in the U.S., I know that.
Well, of course, all of us want to have a happy family, and when I read your book, I thought, well, what might be going on in someone's family that they might be looking for a new one? What kind of things inspired you to want to write this book to give to families?
Well, I should tell you, that's a good question, because I had a discussion with a publisher, and it went like this. Hey, I think we should call this book Have a Happier Family by Friday. And they said, no, the title is Have a Happy Family by Friday. And I said, well, isn't that an admission if you pick up a book like that your family isn't very happy? And they said, well, you tell me. You're out talking to families at seminars all over the U.S. and Canada. How many happy families do you see? And I said, well, quite frankly, very few. And then they said, write the book, fat boy. And so I acquiesced to Have a Happy Family by Friday. families today, in particular families of faith, they don't pay attention to things they love to hang on to, like train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, number one, most families don't train up children. They train down children. They talk down to them. They don't ask them what they think about anything. And in the way he should go, they interpret as the way I think my kid should go. And, of course, the reality that that particular scripture really speaks to how God would have your child go, not how you think he should go. It speaks to the individual bent of all its children. Now, in the introduction, you mentioned the birth order book. I mean, many trees died in honor of that book over the years, sold well over a million copies. But the truth of the matter is the firstborn and the secondborn in most families are night and day different. So why would you treat two kids the same? Does God treat us all the same? So the other missing element in families today, to answer your question, is fun. You know, we do a cruise once a year. This year I do it with Luis Palau and Dennis Swanberg, Sherry Kagi. We go down to the Caribbean in February, February 22nd to be exact. And we love doing the cruise. I've done it 12 years in a row. But when I go out and talk to churches and I tell them about the cruise, I said, listen, if you're a fun couple or if you're a fun single, we'd love to have you on the cruise. And if you're not, we'd prefer you stay home. Mm-hmm. Because I think fun is just an element that makes, I mean, if you're a believer, there ought to be fun in your life. There ought to be joy in your life. And families today are so stressed, they have so much on their plate, they're having a difficult time ferreting out the fun factor.
So 5 days seems kind of optimistic. Is it really possible to make some significant changes where you will have a happy family in less than a week?
Well, quite frankly, all the Friday books from Have a New Kid to Have a New Teenager, Have a New You, Have a New Husband, they're all scams. Because it really doesn't take 5 days, and this is the irony. You could turn a kid around. You can turn a relationship around in about 48 hours, about 2 days. We should have called the book Have a Happy Family by Wednesday in some ways. And let me give you an example. One of the big hooks in this book is, and listen carefully to this sentence, the word you choose to use with those you love can change the very trajectory of that relationship. Now, I cite in the book a 14-year-old kid who actually didn't live too far away from where you guys are. And he comes home to dinner, and he announces at 14 that he's the proud half-owner in a motorcycle. He gave the $200 he saved for working in the summer to his buddy's big brother to be half-owner in a motorcycle. Well, you can imagine what the kid's dad said. He said, you did what? He said, you're 14 years old. You don't even have a driver's permit. What is wrong with you? You are the biggest sucker to ever come down the pike. My goodness, if a bird had your brain, he'd fly sideways. What is wrong with you? And, of course, the kid, who was all excited, bolted from the table, went to his room, slammed and locked the door, didn't talk to dad for 6 days. Well, I know this dad. He called me up. He said, hey, Lehman, what do I do? I said, well, first of all, you need to go and knock on your kid's door, and you have to offer an apology to him. You act like an idiot. And he didn't like that, but he agreed after a few moments that he probably acted inappropriately. And he said to his son, hey, I'm sorry I overreacted. Tell me about the bike. And the kid just went off about motorcycles. And he told me later, he said, I was just so shocked to see how much this kid knows about motorcycles. He took him up to Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, and he arranged for him to go through where they make these motorcycles. And he said, Kevin, he said, I got to tell you the truth. I don't think we've had a good relationship for the last 3 years. And everything turned around in just one weekend. And that's a perfect example. You know, there's not a parent around that loves their kid's music from generation to generation. But when your kid puts that CD in the car and all of a sudden you start hearing this music that is quite foreign to you, what would happen if you said to your son or your daughter, honey, turn that up? They look at you strange, like, what'd you say? Turn it up. And let them turn it up. And then say, louder. And start bumping around behind the wheel to the music, whatever it is. And, hey, tell me more about that music. You know, now the tell me is really important. And asking kids' opinion is important. But what do most parents do? We always ask kids questions. And one of the admonitions in this book, Have a Happy Family by Friday, is, hey, parents, get out of the habit of asking your kids questions. And by the way, if you're a woman, you're married, on behalf of every man listening, we hate your questions. Mm. And we hate the Y word. If you want us to talk to us, want us to talk to you, don't ask us questions.
So communication between your children and communication between husband and wife, both of those things need to change in order for the happiness quotient to go up with your family, correct?
Yeah, there's a parallel there. I mean, men hate the Y word, you know. Kids hate the Y word. You know, and I mean, I've had parents stand up and say, excuse me, Dr. Lehman, I have a great deal of respect for you, and I've heard you on Focus on the Family for years. I've read a few of your books, but I respectfully disagree with you. I think it's very important to ask your children questions. Okay, let's go through this. Melissa, how was your day at school, honey? Fine. What'd you do? Nothing. Teenager, where you been? Out. What'd you do? Nothing. You want to ask questions? Go ahead. If you want your kid to talk to you, you can start with, honey, can I ask your opinion about something? Now, technically that's a question, but listen to the words. Can I ask your opinion? And see, this goes back to training up children. I don't think we listen to kids enough, and kids find ways of sort of throwing us a bone, so to speak, just to satisfy us and get us off their case, so to speak. And they live in another world than we do. And with the technology today that's available to kids, combine that with the stupidity of parents to give these kids iPhones at ages 8, 9, and 10, you're headed for trouble, parent.
I found that the technology that I have to possess as a parent has actually helped with exactly what you're saying, asking my teenager how to work something. And he is never so proud as to be able to figure something out that I haven't been able to figure out for a week. And he can do it in literally 30 seconds.
Yeah. And let me give you the parallel there. Husbands want to be their wives' heroes. Okay. Men love fixing things. Men love telling women what to do. I got news for you. Women don't like being told what to do. But they want a man who understands what she's up against every day as a mom. I call you moms Velcro women, because it seems like everybody wants a piece of you, and you're being tugged in so many directions. But I want to go back to this concept of the perfect storm, which I talk about in this book. You've got kids who are beginning to pull away from you in pubescence and adolescence. They're beginning to grow up, and they're growing up quicker than ever. That's part of the perfect storm. The second part of the perfect storm is a peer group that's been technically empowered like we've never seen before. Okay? And then the third part of that perfect storm is parents who have way too much on their own plate, and they're dealing with their own issues. And boy, you got a Hurricane Sandy coming your way. That is a prescription for disaster. So we got kids in too many activities. We're in too many activities. And one of the things the Lehmans did, right, we have five kids, is we were not joiners. We don't belong to a country club or the social scene. We belong to our church, our small group, which is a part of our church, and that's it. And so our rule in our family was one activity per semester per children, per child. So, I mean, if you see me on Good Morning America or the Today Show talking about activities are bad for children, it's really interesting. Folks, right after this commercial, we've got a guy that says that activities are not good for children. You stay tuned, and we'll have that nut on in just a few seconds. Because it's un-American to say that activities aren't good for children, but it just becomes a rat race, and it's like kids are on little conveyor belts running like little mice or rats, and you have to slow down if you want a happy family, I think.
I'd love to explore that point a little bit more. I need to take a quick break, Dr. Lehman, but we will be right back. If you are listening and you say, hey, I want to get a hold of that book, Have a Happy Family by Friday, well, you can get a hold of it. Just go to our website and go to the Connecting Faith show page. You can click on email and send your name in. We will try to get you a book at the end of the show. We'll draw for the number we have available, and we'll put that book into your hands. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Lehman today. He's written a new book called Have a Happy Family by Friday. This is his 49th book and has some great advice on how to change the way that your family is operating, or how we're operating toward our children or toward our spouse. And we've been chatting a little bit about the number of activities and the craziness that most families are engaged in. And Dr. Lehman, you say we can put a stop to that, and that is going to increase that happiness. How so?
Well, every kid needs vitamin N, and there has to be order in the family. I mean, if you're a single mom, you're the captain of the ship. If you're married, you're co-captains of the good ship family. And yes, you're out there on the sea of life, and I realize the storms come up and the waves can be big, but my question is, do you have a port of call? And you only have these kids under your roof for roughly 18 years. In fact, the other day I was answering a question on the air. It was actually on television. And they said, well, I got a 14-year-old who's just got a smart mouth and is very disrespectful to me, et cetera. What do I do? And I said, I'll tell you what could really help you. Toilet paper. I wish you could have seen the expression on the host's face when I said toilet paper. I said, I want you to go get 18 sheets of toilet paper, double ply. And I want you to sit your 14-year-old down and say, honey, we need to talk. I want you to raise these sheets. They're still attached to each other in front of your 14-year-old. And I want you to count 14 of them off and drop them to the floor. It leaves you standing with four pieces of toilet paper. Now the conversation starts like this. Honey, you've got four more years to serve in this prison. And quite frankly, prison life here isn't going too well for you or for us. And we're at a precipice where some things have to change because we're about done with what's going on here. Now, in these next 4 years, they can be really cool years. When you're 16, you could actually have the privilege of driving the family car that we insure and we own. But if you think mom and dad are going to give the keys to the car to a kid that is not respectful and helpful in the home and doesn't do a good job in school, you got another thing coming, because that's never going to happen. The other thing I want to remind you about, honey, is in 4 years, someone is going to look at a computer screen or look at an 8x11 piece of paper. It's going to have some numbers on it and your name, and they're going to make all kinds of decisions about you. And those decisions that person makes about you is going to affect where you live, what kind of home you live, what kind of car you drive, what kind of clothes you wear, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I call that life mapping. Not that we're going to, you know, map the life out for the kid. That never works. But I think you have to bring the reality to a kid's face that, you know, this isn't working. And then you begin this process of giving a kid vitamin N. Hey, Dad, can I go here? Hey, Mom, can I go there? No. Would you drive me here? Would you drive me there? No, I don't feel like driving you there, quite frankly. Very glibly, not getting into a fight and a hassle, remembering that fighting is an act of cooperation. You're really giving a State of the Union address to your kid. And you're saying, things aren't working out here. And there's going to have to be some changes on your part, because this isn't fine. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of forces some kind of an emotional blowout of sorts. Now, there's a slow leak theory where you can watch this kid slow leak himself to death, or you can get yourself in a place where you can force a blowout. And I'm of the theory that a blowout is better than a slow leak.
And why is that?
Because it affects change. It brings change to the forefront. So when the kid sees that you start to change, the only way a kid is going to change behavior, parent, is if you start acting differently. So you need to give the kid the vitamin N, but he also needs vitamin E, which is encouragement. And see, most of us are brought up to thinking that we have to praise children. And I've gone to great lengths to explain to parents why praise is destructive with children. If you want to praise something in life, praise God. God's worthy of your praise. Your kid isn't.
So it's also important that couples make some changes in the way that they talk to each other too, right? It's not just about the kids.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you have to understand. I mean, what I love about Have a Happy Family by Friday is if you and your husband aren't on the same page, this is a good book to read. It's really important that the kids see you as united. One of the reasons why kids react to you and try to drive a wedge between you is they see that you're not on the same page. It makes them angry. So, and the other kicker is this. Listen to the statement. Your kid actually wants to please you, parent. So when something's going on with the two kids and they're going after each other's throat or whatever, and you walk in the room and you say, Mom or Dad, hey, I am very unhappy with what just went down here. And turn your back and walk away. You've raked coals over those kids. Because quite frankly, they don't like it when Mom and Dad's upset with them. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to tell them, I'm upset with what's going on. But I wouldn't sit there and do battle with them. Again, keep in mind that fighting is an act of cooperation. And that's one of the principles I hammered home in the book, a New York Times bestseller book called Have a New Kid by Friday. So these things are rather simple to do. We have a website called birthorderguy.com, and the heading on the website says, Parenting isn't easy, but it's simple. And I think St. Paul gave us a great model in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 of what a parent should be like. We're an authority over our children without being an authoritarian. And this is a brave statement, Joe, but listen to it. There's only one way to rear a child. Only one way. Now, if you're a person of faith, that is particularly true. Because God is not an authoritarian. He doesn't grab us by the scruff of the neck and twist our earlobe and tell us we're going to do this and that. Nor is he the permissive God. His word says every knee shall bow. And so we're not talking about a mamby-pamby God, are we? We're not talking about a mamby-pamby parent either. So you need to be in authority without being authoritarian. And that's tricky because most of us who are listening to this broadcast today were brought up in what? Authoritarian homes.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Kevin Lehman today. He is an internationally known psychologist and humorist, and he's written a new book called Have a Happy Family by Friday. We do have a few copies of his book to give away and get in your hands. It's a great book, especially if you want to see how easy it is to make some of those changes or some of those simple changes that Dr. Lehman's been talking about. You can just log into our website, go to the Connecting Faith show page, and shoot us an email with your name and address and why you'd like a copy of the book. We'll do a drawing at the end of the show today, and we'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Connecting Faith. You've been listening to a conversation with Dr. Kevin Lehman. He's written a book called Have a Happy Family by Friday, How to Improve Communication, Respect, and Teamwork in Just 5 Days. And of course, a lot of these things that we've been talking about, Dr. Lehman, you say are definitely simple. They don't feel simple, but all of the principles that you're talking about really are laid out very nicely in your book. And one of the things that you talk about is communications and between husbands and wives, communication between parents and siblings. Why is that so key to making the changes that you want to have happen in your family?
Well, it's just fundamental, and we don't do a good job of it. You know, in 1969, we put men on the moon, and I find it ironic that in the year 2014, men and women still don't understand each other. Women are wordsmiths. They use 3.5 times the number of words that we men use in a given day. Men thrive in arm's-length relationships. Women will hug anything that moves. I mean, there's some humor in this. Mm-hmm. When God, you know, when God said, the two shall become one, I'm reminded that he was the original humorist, because that's some doing for the two to become one, because he's created us so differently. We think differently. We react or respond to the same stimuli completely different. But, you know, with kids need to feel like you really care. And they don't care what you know until they know you care, that you care about them. And I think sometimes, and this is a little birth order-ish, but you got this little, I call them bluebirds, a little firstborn that does extremely well in school, is well-liked by everybody, just tackles life with a smile on her face, okay? And then you got number two daughter right behind her, just 2 or 3 years underneath her, and who finds it extremely difficult to measure up to what firstborn is, okay? Now, you can help that situation by treating the kids differently, by the way. But it's a smart parent who pulls number two daughter aside and says, honey, can I ask you something? Now you're asking for permission. Sure, what? Hey, is it me or is your sister just a little over the top? Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm saying is, when that kid hears you say that, that kid's going to say, wait a minute, Mom gets it. She knows what I'm up against. Yeah, Mom, she is a little over the top. Yeah, she thinks she's God in the flesh. You know, she bosses me around and she gets, you know, blah, blah. And here's the kid who struggles to get grades, where the firstborn just sort of breezes through. And that scenario is replicated in all kinds of families. And so the key to communication is getting behind the other person's eyes. And the firstborn, the middle, and the baby of the family are going to see life completely different. And again, God made them different. In the birth order book, I cite identical twins. I'd be curious if you think this is downright profound. But identical twins have the same DNA. They're genetically the same person. But when I found this out, I'm not kidding you, I laughed out loud. Identical twins have different fingerprints. Now, why would Almighty God give identical twins different fingerprints? To help the FBI? Was that the motivation? Or was it God's way of saying, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are different than anyone else on this earth? And so I think as parents, when you delineate in the kid's mind clearly that I don't expect you, I don't want you being like your older sister. She's a little over the top. You know, I love the way you roll with the punches, you know, and there you are stuck in the middle between the little princess and that little brother of yours. He does get away with murder, and I know that's my fault. I'm trying to get better. But here you are stuck right in the middle. And, honey, you know, when I look at life as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I just can't help but you're the peanut butter and the jelly right in the middle, and that's the best part in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And see, you reach into that kid's mind with that kind of an illustration that just says, you know, Mom understands how I feel. And that's the kid that's going to come in late at night when she's 16, 17 years old and sit on your bed, and she's going to say, hey, Mom, can I run something by you? And see, there's nothing better than that. I've got 5 kids. The youngest is now 22. She's finishing college. All 5 kids finished college in 4 years. But what I learned about communication with kids is when they want to talk, they want to talk. And they talk at the most inopportune moments. When you're about ready to go to sleep, you know, and they'll sit on your bed, and you better talk with them because that's your opportunity, parent.
That is true. It's usually when I'm dead tired that we have the best conversations, but I have to be there. So talk about the importance of being an engaged parent.
Well, you know, every bit of research, and I'm not much of a researcher, I have to tell you, as a baby of the family, I'd much rather let those firstborn and onlyborn children do the research. But I pay attention to the results of the research and for the purpose of writing books. But I can tell you this, that if there's an engaged parent in a kid's life, now not a parent that smothers the kid or over-directs or corrects the kid's life, but one that's engaged, that's with it, that understands, all things go better. And the research on men and women, you know, put a dad in the home that's an engaged dad, and everything is wonderful. Dads have tremendous presence, especially in daughters' lives, which makes a lot of people cringe because they know that maybe they married the wrong person, maybe they're in a divorce situation, maybe they married a real slime ball. And if that's the case, you know your daughter's paid for it. And guilt will run a woman right in the wrong direction. And I always say guilt is the propellant for most of the lousy decisions you make as a parent. But a good dad leaves an indelible imprint on everyone in the family, but obviously more so on the daughter. So it's daddy, daughter, mother, son. Those are the key relationships in families that sometimes get ignored, and we should pay more attention to those cross-sexual relationships.
So what do men need to be aware of as it applies to their daughters?
Well, every daughter needs a good dose of masculinity. I catch people off guard when I say, hey, what parent should talk with a daughter about relationships, sex, peer pressure, etc.? Daddy should talk to daughter. Mommy should talk to son. We are in unique positions to tell our daughter how men view women. Conversely, women are in great positions to tell a young man that women do not like to be grabbed, that women want to be treated gently, they want to be listened to, they want to be respected, etc. And those conversations, by the way, and this is a little frightening, ought to be starting around age 9 or 10, because that's the time when kids really start thinking an awful lot about sex. At ages 11 and 12, they talk a lot about sex, and you don't want to know about 13 and 14, but that's why I emphasize that kind of straight talk. And again, you have a choice, parent. You want to tell them, and you want the world to tell them. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you tell them on I-35. You get on the freeway, on the interstate, start driving, and you'll find there's something wonderful about looking out the window, looking at that white line as you're talking to your son or daughter about life. And conversely, the kid's looking out the side window saying, I can't believe this conversation. But they'll listen. They'll listen. Shoot it to them straight. And again, we've been there. We've reared five of them, and it's not always easy. But I can tell you that as a dad of five grown kids, they call me all the time. My cell phone's always buzzing with my kids. They're checking in on dad to see how he's doing. But they're also sharing life with me. And many times they'll say, hey, Dad, can I run something by you? Now, do I tell them what to do? Not essentially, but I listen to them, and sometimes I give them ideas, and sometimes they accept those ideas, and sometimes they don't. But they have their own lives to live, and that's what you have to understand is we're rearing responsible children. So give kids responsibilities. And the question I want every parent to ask is, are you rearing your kid in a home or hotel? And most parents raise kids in hotels. Well, what does that mean? It means you give them room service, food service, and very little is expected of them. But I would suspect in the state of Minnesota, there's a lot of people who grew up on a farm. And those people need never come to a Kevin Lehman event, because I'll never be able to teach those guys anything, because on the farm they learn to work. They gave back to the family, and they learned what cooperation was all about. Hmm.
So for those who maybe didn't grow up in that environment, or maybe there's single parents out there who don't have the opportunity to have that co-pilot with them who are making the home a great place to be, what does that single parent do? How are their needs going to be different where they can still have a happy family?
Well, I think they need to depend upon their kids to give back to them. Again, you got to keep guilt at bay. And kids need to give back to that single mom. That single mom who has a kid who comes home to an apartment or a home with no one in it at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon needs to be able to, you know, get the chicken out and get it half prepared so when mom comes home, the dinner doesn't have to take forever, you know. So we all pitch in. We all help. And there's something terribly healthy about that. And that's where, for all these parents who are chasing self-esteem for their children, oh my goodness, they're crazy, they're over the top. One of the best ways is just to give kids an opportunity to give back to the family. And it's so simple, it's downright profound. Kids feel good about themselves when they give back to the family. And quite frankly, that single mom, she needs help because there's no one in the bullpen. When your daughter is sick or your son is sick and you're the single mom, what do you do? It's a pretty rough, tough road to hoe. But again, you stay away from guilt. You do what you can do. Your kids understand. And if they're working, then you have teamwork and you can take on whatever life tasks lie before you. Now, if you feel sorry for the kid, you coddle the kid, you give them too many things, you're going to pay for that as a parent and as a family.
We're talking with best-selling author Kevin Lehman today. He's an internationally known psychologist. He's a humorist, and he's been a guest on several different radio and television shows. And today we're talking about his new book, Have a Happy Family by Friday. And when we come back after this break, Dr. Lehman, I'd love to know if these things we've been talking about or these strategies change midlife. Do things change as children grow or when they're babies? And we'll talk more about that as we come back from the break. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Welcome back to the program. You've been listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and today having a great conversation with Dr. Kevin Lehman about how we can have a happy family. And it can be by Friday. It can be in just a few days. But also, as Dr. Lehman's been talking about, it could happen even just in 24 or 48 hours just by changing the way that we talk to our kids and how we talk to our spouses. Dr. Lehman, do these things change midlife? You say you have grown children, but obviously they were little at one point in time. Do we need to change how we talk to our kids as they grow and as they're young?
Yeah, the whole essential nature of relationship changes, of course, as kids move toward adulthood. But again, I'd point out for all the young families listening, when do you start training a puppy? When he's a year old? No, you start immediately.
You would be in big trouble if you started at a year.
Exactly.
It'd be a long year.
You'd be surprised how many parents really snowplow their roads of life for kids, make far too many decisions for them. And by the way, I was introduced as a humorist, and I was just thinking, I have not been very funny this whole interview. I could be very funny. Hey, would you kids turn that TV down in there? I'm trying to do your homework. You know, we have seen the enemy, and they are small, and they're unionized. And kids will work you. They have a game plan. And my goodness, I'm just telling you that you got to have a game plan. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote Have a Happy Family by Friday, because I think it gives you that structure. I put a little thing out on my Facebook the other day, 8 ways to keep your teenager close. And it came right out of this book. And it's just simple little things. And I was amazed. I had 259,000 people read that on my Facebook page. And I said, wow, people are hungry for just simple, practical ways of communicating and talking to kids. And people should know this. I always forget to mention these things, so I'm glad I remembered it. We have podcasts that are free on birthorderguy.com, and they become extremely popular to the point where 5 weeks from when we started doing these, we knocked Sesame Street out of the number one most listened to podcast for family in America.
Wow.
And so people really have enjoyed them. And it's just me talking straight from the shoulder, you know, common sense oriented help for parents on about every topic you can think of. In fact, I do another one tomorrow through the whole, all you do is scroll down to you find podcasts or go to maybe birthorderguy.com/podcast, I think it is. And then they'll pull up right there. But you can find it. If you spell Lehman right, L-E-M-A-N, no H in Lehman, you'll run down that stuff. But they're very helpful toward parents. But the point is, I think that many, many young families today don't know what to do because they came out of dysfunctional families themselves. And so the family is literally falling apart at the seams. And all I'm trying to do is help people stay in that position of being an authority with their children rather than authoritarian or certainly not permissive.
Well, you say that in order to have that happy family, we also need to learn a few things like making family time count, for example. Family time for a lot of people is that 15 minutes that you're in the car taking a kid from one activity to another. I'm guessing that's not what you're talking about as it applies to family time.
You know, I did Oprah Winfrey show, I think, five times in my life, if I'm thinking correctly. In fact, I'm so old, I did Donahue twice. But one day I had the TV on, and Oprah was on, and they had the stage set with dining room tables with families all on the set. And I thought, what the heck is she doing? And it was the whole show was about the dinner hour. And I thought, you know, this is profound because it's one of the things the Lehmans did well. We always had dinner together. It wasn't in front of a TV set. It wasn't with TV trays. It was we all sat down to dinner and we shared. And it was always a fun experience. And I love it when all the kids come together. Again, we got five kids. And last Thanksgiving, I'll never forget this moment, but it shows that the tradition carries on. And I was about to offer the Thanksgiving prayer, and we usually join hands and we pray together as a family. And my little grandson, Connor, who was 9 at the time, said, "Grandpa, can I say something?" I said, "Sure." And he stood up, and he went around to every person, put his hands on that person's shoulders, and said why he was thankful for that person. And every one of them was different. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow. What a great job my daughter Chrissy and her husband Dennis has done with little Connor. And I'm writing a book right now about middle school. And one of the things that impressed me is if we're ever going to get anywhere with middle schoolers, we need to help them develop an attitude of gratitude. Because middle schoolers don't seem to have much gratitude about anything. They're on the take. And so that, when you talk about quality time, I think food, if you're rearing teenagers today, use your home as the centerpiece of your kid's life. Yes, that means you might have to buy some peaches for their friends. Let your house be the place where the kids hang out. It's a great way to see and develop a relationship with the kids that your kids are hanging out with. That's a lot healthier than having a kid hang out somewhere else or at the mall. So with a little thinking on your part, parent, you can be in a position where you're in authority, you're seeing what's happening in your kid's life, and you're having fun. That's a pretty good combination.
Hmm. I also love the section where you write on mom being the centerpiece of the family, because I am one, of course, and I have one, too. So what does mom need from her family?
Well, mom needs some respect, and lots of times she gets dissed. Lots of times she gets just taken for granted. And mom needs time out. If she's a single mom, she needs time away. It's hard to create. You need a co-op with another single parent. Hey, would you watch my kids this weekend or this night? And usually that single mom is just asking for some help so she can go to a doctor's appointment, a dental appointment, shopping, get her hair done. I mean, it's not like she's asking for a week on the French Riviera, okay? And for couples, I think couples set the paradigm early in life. I said, suggested this years ago in a book called Making Children Mine Without Losing Yours, to leave that child at home with a babysitter in the first few days of life and go out for dinner as a couple and start the habit of making sure you do take care of the couple. Because if the couple doesn't go, people are going to pay down the line big time.
Well, that is great advice for being able to give something back to our parents. I think a lot of times when we're reading books as parents, we're trying to make all those changes for our families, but we might forget to show our kids how we should be treating each other. How can we help our children learn how to treat each other?
Number one, if you're married, watch the words you use with your husband. I say in my book, Have a New Husband by Friday, think of your husband as a four-year-old that shaves. He's a very simple creature. He needs to feel needed and wanted by you. Gentlemen, be very careful about how you talk about your wife. You always honor her. You always respect her. I mean, the kids are watching. What would happen if Dad got up from the dinner table and said, honey, come here, have a seat. And he got up and he served everybody at the table. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think kids would take notice. Mommies, again, I call them Velcro women because it seems like everything revolves around them. And women are so marvelous because they're multitaskers. I mean, I picture a woman juggling five oranges in the air. There's your typical woman. Now, your typical male, watch him with his one orange, throwing it vertically up in the air and catching it, one orange at a time. Most men are very unidimensional, and most women are very multidimensional. So again, some of these differences are really ingrained in how God made us differently.
It is true that as my husband, my kids do follow what my husband does. After dinner, he gets up, he likes to do the dishes, and now my kids have started getting up and helping with the dishes. So
yeah, good.
They do follow exactly what he does. So there are some ways that we can model that behavior to our kids, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's simple stuff. You know, you're lucky. We had to put our little Cocker Spaniel down yesterday. And it's been a teary week for everybody. And I just came back from Phoenix where I spoke this past weekend and had about an hour and a half between the time I came home to the time the veterinarian was coming to our home. And this is a dog, just the sweetest little thing. But she had to be put to sleep. And I brought my wife a dozen of roses and I wrote a little note like I was the dog to her. And I think it's those little things we do in life that the kids notice, and it becomes them appreciative of the fact that they have a dad who cares and a mom who cares. I remember our kids, when they went away to college, we'd get notes to the effect of, you know what, I'm so thankful for you guys. I'm seeing lots of kids that don't talk to their parents, and if they talk about that, they talk about it in very negative terms. I'm just so thankful for you guys. And so, parents, the payoff isn't always immediate. You don't always see it. But down the road, all these little things you do are going to add up to a great relationship someday that you're going to have with these kids when they are past 18 and starting to carve out their own paths in life.
So if you were to give someone a tip for what they can do even as early as this weekend, what would that be?
Be mindful of the words that you choose to use with those you love. Stop asking questions. If you have a relationship that is not a good relationship with either your kid or your husband or your wife, stop asking questions. That would be number one. Let them come around and say, is there something wrong? No. Life's wonderful. Put a smile on your face and see what happens. It's almost like magic, I'll tell you. That is a great suggestion for everybody to put into practice.
Hmm. Well, thank you so much for that and for all the great advice you've given us, Dr. Lehman, and for this book, Have a Happy Family by Friday. Of course, we've been talking about lots of great tips throughout the hour. If you want to get a copy of this book for your own, so you can read all about it, you can just go to our website, go to the Connecting Faith show page and click on email. Email us your name and we'll be drawing for all the copies that Dr. Lehman has provided at the end of the show. So Dr. Lehman, thanks so much for joining us and we wish you the very best luck with this book and all your travels.
You're welcome. I'm going to get up your way and have some of that wild rice soup one of these days.
It will still be here and it's even better when it's 30 below.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? I think I'm going to come in the fall or spring.
Thanks, Dr. Lehman.